You're listening to WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and this is Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, I am happy to have back in the studio Ray Chow. Ray was on our show in June of 2015, and if you were tuned in last week, I did a replay of that show to get us kind of up to date on Ray. And in that show, he shared insights and experiences with the food truck industry and with the restaurant industry. And let me remind you that Ray is happily married to wife Rachel, has three kids, Nathan, Maddie, and Allie. He lives in Cary. He's been the owner of Hibachi Express Food Truck, Catering by Ray. He owns a commissary in Raleigh that currently supports eight other food truck families. He is the co-founder and CFTO, that's Chief Food Truck Officer for FUSI, which is technology for the food truck industry. He is a founding board member of RDU Mobile Food Association, an advisory board member of Wake County Health and Human Services. He is an NC State graduate with a degree in mechanical engineering, and he is a huge supporter of Make-A-Wish. He has been in the business, restaurant business for over 20 years, and he is here today as the co-founder and chief food technology officer of FUSI, and I hope I'm saying that right, which is a technology startup for the food truck industry that takes the difficulties and challenges that have been learned in the brick and mortar restaurants, catering, and food trucks, and takes that information and creates technology platforms and apps to enable success in the food truck industry. He says it does everything but the cooking, so I am anxious to have Ray fill us in on all of the innovations and what's happening with FUSI.
Lee, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on the show again. I'm definitely very excited to be here today. Wow, what an introduction. Your worst critic, so you never know what achievements and things you've done. So it was just a very welcome experience to listening to the intro, just that part alone.
Well, and it is fun because it's sometimes we forget that when we're working in our businesses and we're working on our businesses, all those successes and things that we've done in the past. So it's great to frame up how successful you've been in the restaurant and food truck industry. And you're translating that now into your new role and your new technology. So fill us in just what that is and what the objective is.
Well, it all started off with an idea, and me and a couple other business, our co-founders, we were just a part of a mastermind group, just helping each other with our daily business challenges. And at the time when the business was morphing and I had restaurants and catering and food truck, I was learning some day-to-day challenges. It's like, oh my gosh, this food truck, mobile kitchen, things fall on the floor if you don't put them down, and then you got to go hunt for business. And so it was actually a very strong welcoming experience for me and how my business has morphed. But as we started diving into solutions to my challenges with the food truck business, we eventually learned that, hey, we've got a technology opportunity here. We need to use technology to automate as much of these day-to-day challenges as possible as a food truck owner, because what I was experiencing is also what thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of food truck owners nationwide are experiencing. And it's at the day and age that we were at with technology, we said there had to be a technology solution. Of course, we dived into it, looked a little bit more, and was like, nobody's doing this. Everyone's building apps for other things, but nothing really for the food truck industry.
Well, and when we're talking about food truck, you said you're going after your market. You are mobile. You do have to think about the transportation and the safety and the security of what you're transporting. You have to be at the right place at the right time for the customer. So you have to let your loyal customers know where you're going to be. You have to manage those food quantities. You have to prep. You have to get there. You have to do your social media. You have to. There's just so many moving parts, literally moving parts, that you would think technology would be the solution. So that's what you guys have decided to do. So what does this technology entail? How does it work? Who's it for? All of those kind of things.
Well, ultimately, we are going to utilize the technology to do as much of automation as humanly possible. But of course, if you start off just like what Apple did, they start off with an iPhone 10, it would be too much too quick right up front. So that's our approach, is start off with the absolute bare bones basic. we've introduced a our Foosie shout-out app, and it's for food truck owners only. And it only basically does three things, and it's very simplified. So once a food truck owner sets up their profile, which gives permission to access their Twitter and their Facebook accounts, and we have automated messaging. When they arrive at their location, they just hit one button, and it says open. I'm open for business. That's how long it takes for them to do it.
I'm open, and I'm here.
I'm open, and I am physically here. And what it does is once the food truck owner hits I'm open for business, it automatically sends out a message to Twitter and a message to Facebook. And it shows the address of where they're at. You know, it's pretty fairly accurate. Sometimes, you know, GPS and phones right. off a little bit. But it also gives a shortened URL so their followers can click on that URL and automatic pops open their GPS. So it gives them turn-by-turn location directions to find where the food truck is parked. Because, you know, food trucks are never parked in the very front door of all these locations. So sometimes they're a challenge to find.
Well, and because a lot of times it's the city in particular. It says you can't park in this certain zone or only during these hours or, you know, it's those kind of things. So that's really critical for your customers to be able to know that you're right here on this particular day.
Absolutely. Well, the app also does two other things because as you get closer to the end of your lunch or dinner service, we have what we call last call, kind of like last call from the bar. When you're there serving for 30 more minutes, another set of message goes out Twitter and your Facebook when you hit last call button. Basically tells all your followers, hey, I'm here for another 30 minutes. Come get your hibachi from my Hibachi Express food truck. And again, it replicates the address and directions. Come find me before we leave. Of course, the last button is close. Hey,
right.
Sorry, we're out of here.
See
we're
you
done
tomorrow.
Serving.
Right, yeah.
See you later and find us another time. So why is that so powerful? Because in comparison, you're comparing to food truck calendars or other apps that just replicates their calendars. And in the food truck business, we are a mobile business. There are 1,001 plus reasons why your food truck will be late or it will not show up today.
That what they call construction, but I call destruction. You get behind some kind of construction zone and you're delayed.
Absolutely.
Or they've closed a street for some other event where you normally are, you can't be there. And so you have to give your followers, your customers, that information.
Or you have a flat tire on a wheel, a steel wheel on one of these food trucks weighs like 100 pounds. And some of these food truck owners, they weigh 100 pounds. So
right.
There's no way they can change that tire on themselves. So what we've found out is consumer confidence.
Right.
When consumers says, hey, oh, I see a tweet you're going to be serving, or I see on your calendar you're going to be here, and then you're not. Then they're not going to trust your calendar as much, or they're
right.
not going to trust what the other apps might be broadcasting. And this is where what the Foosie app is going to do is, you know what, if I check in at my location, I'm physically here, I'm serving. And Sales 101 says you need to touch your customers or potential customers 7 to 10 times before
right.
they even think about buying from you.
So what's the long-term vision for what's going to be included? And don't share anything you don't want to, but these are the first three things about your location. We're here, we're open, we got 30 more minutes, and now we're closed, and we'll see you next time. What else do you see this automation taking into consideration?
Well, this piece that we started off with is primarily automating the social media messaging. Not all of us have the time or the knowledge or the interest or desire or the ability to send a tweet or send a message on Facebook and eventually Instagram integration as well. So pictures are
right.
very powerful. But at least as
they definitely make you hungry when you send them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at least with what we've got started so far is the ability for everyone at all levels of technology abilities to be able to say, hey, my food truck is here serving and I'm out on social media. And I've met many of owners who do not tweet, do not put Facebook, and they start using the app. It's like, well, I can do this.
Right.
Just help me set it up and help. I spend a few minutes with them, and here's your login, put in your password, and then every time you go do lunch, click this button.
Well, I know. I use an app to automate I hit Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and I forget what all, and all my multiple personalities on there, so I have multiple accounts and things. And I load that, and for the app I use for my business, I can load a preload 100 tweets.
Absolutely.
Or 100 posts. And so I know those can be set at a certain time. Like today, you were going to be on the show. I said tune in at 11:59 so everybody had time to get it up. And that was sitting there. So I wasn't sitting here at 11:58 trying to tweet out and do my social media. It was automated. And that makes a huge difference whether you're sitting down 1 hour a week and loading things for the coming week that you know are going to happen, or you're having to try to do it as you're driving down the road to let everybody know you're arriving. That's just not.
Now imagine if your show was like a food truck business.
Right.
What happened if, knock on wood, all this equipment stopped working at 11:57?
You've been here. He's been here on a different day. Yeah. So I mean, and we do have those challenges, you know. And it's you know, come in and it's 7 degrees in the studio because the heat went out, and I'm texting my guests saying don't come, otherwise you're going to be in a parka, right? And those things. Even for brick and mortar, they happen, but for a food truck.
Oh, my gosh. And the thing is, when these, not if, but when these things happen, updating your calendar is the absolute last thing on your priority list.
Go into your website, log in, find your calendar,
exactly.
Post it, repost it, send it out. Yeah, there's a lot more steps to that.
So in addition to automating the social media messaging, and of course we're going to expand on the how flexible and the messages and customization you can do. Remember the old days of college applications and you got like 20 pages to fill out, name, social security number, and address.
Right.
10 times for every, you know, every school you're applying to. Guess what? That's kind of happening today still, not for college universities, but for events that a lot of food truck owners are applying for festivals. To the point that I remember my bank account and routing numbers and
you know
EIN.
You're in trouble when you've memorized your credit card, your bank account, and all those numbers.
But our idea is to use technology, do your full profile one time.
Save your key information, let
absolutely.
It populate into forms, and man, that's sweet.
It's almost like, you know, there's LinkedIn for a lot of executives and professionals in the business world. So my idea is kind of like, hey, this is kind of like the LinkedIn for food trucks. So, you know, tell everyone who has any interest in your food truck everything they need to know about you, especially event coordinators, because they want to book your truck on their events.
Right.
But we're going to take it one step further, because then there's going to be a profile on event coordinators. From food truck perspective,
right.
Some event coordinators are super great at what they do, and some just kind of drop the ball a little bit. And
that never happens. Huh?
Never. But it's reputation data,
right,
for both ends. And when you know about the events and they know about the truck and they want to invite you, automate it. One touch invite, one touch accept, one touch paying the fees. Everything is going to be technology. And as a matter of fact, as far as potential events, it's going to be push notification to the food truck owner. You're no longer mining the web and looking,
right,
for events. You're working a lunch and you get a notification of a big festival that's going to happen in October. Would you like to apply? Sure, let me hit one button. I'm going,
right,
to apply.
It's a gig platform. And so you're able to go out there and people are looking for a Hibachi Express. And so they can contact you then and just shortcut the circuit of going to your website or reaching out through email or phone. They can get your quote and your availability through,
absolutely,
your app. That's great.
So it's real-time data is what it's all, the premise is all about, even for the general consumer. We've got apps it's currently under development for the general consumer because they want to find out where the trucks are serving
right
now and later on today. Well, if trucks break down and they're not checked in, it's not going to show up on our app.
Okay.
It's only going to show up on the trucks that actually checked in at their location. And this way, it's consumer confidence. Consumers will have confidence to say, hey, this truck that's showing up on the Fusi app that's 2 miles down the road, they checked in. They're physically there. I can go buy from them.
Well, how about the food trucks that, you know, they've been successful with one truck and then they add another? How's the app help them manage that as they're successful and they get more and more trucks?
Or? Well, if there's one owner and two trucks, which truck is the owner on? And he's going to be like, he or she will be on one truck, but he's got to know, did the other truck make it?
Right.
And maybe my driver told me he is, but he didn't physically show up.
So do they register? Could they register both trucks separately?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and that would give
them. And that's the other secondary benefit of having the trucks check in. As an owner, I'm going to follow my messaging, and my truck checked in at 920 Main Campus Drive that we're serving at NC State Centennial Campus today. They checked in at 11:03 a.m. They're open for business. Guess what? They are physically there.
Right.
And I get the messaging as an owner. I know that truck made it. And then if I have trucks 2, 3, and more, I can see where everyone's at and that they made it to their location open for business.
Well, and as a business owner, it's also kind of an accountability thing, right?
Because
if they were supposed to be there at 10:30 and setting up, and you see they get there at 11:30, then you're able to say, wait a minute, you guys, you're calling somebody when you see the truck hasn't checked in at 10:30, right?
Absolutely. Oh, no, trucks are never late. That never happens. I think I've got it like... reason number 122, why
raise rules of food trucks.
But I mean, unfortunately, we're all human beings.
Right.
We make mistakes. And guess what? Sometimes when you're supposed to be there to serve at 11 o'clock and you made a human error and put it on your Google calendar as 11:30, we didn't show up late. It was just a human booking error. And a lot of our guests, they understand, and they're very super cool about it. But every now and then you get some, customers who are kind of irate, and they're trying to say, well, you were supposed to be here at 11 o'clock, and you're not, and you're very unprofessional, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's unfortunate. I look at the industry as we're one big family.
Right.
And out of every family, there's always that one cousin that just doesn't quite, play well with everyone.
Right.
But overall, in general, it's an awesome industry to be in. It's one of the things that, as a person with the RDUMFA and what we've done, is I want to kind of push the positive family culture in the industry. Because
right.
as long as we kind of out there taking care of our business and helping each other out, and that's what it's all about. If you're one individual and you only focus on your truck, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Right.
But if you can make it like a family culture and everyone looks out after each other, no matter what happens, somebody's there to kind of help you out, bail you out.
So it's a community of competitors, but you're more community than competition.
Well,
or that's the objective.
I don't know if there's any competitors. We could be at the same event and there'll be half a dozen food trucks. No one looks at it as competition, and as long as the industry, at least our general area, everyone has that mindset, it'll kind of crush the ones who are kind of stepping in and think we're all competition. And this way it keeps everything positive and it's fun. We work long hours, we work long days, and
every business owner pretty much does.
Exactly. It's nice weather. This is food truck season, Forget the vacations. You can take vacation in December and January when it's freezing and there's no festivals going on. But right now, beautiful weather, there's so much activity going on, and we're just how big of a hustle do you want to go with your business?
So when we're thinking about this app, And harnessing technology, we're thinking of it from the business owner, the food truck owner, from the consumer, your customer, from the standpoint of making sure you're there. Is there going to be some kind of functionality on the end that is strictly from the customer's perspective as to surveys, to feedback, what all's in there for that interaction to keep them connected and keep them feeling they're valued as a customer?
We'll take it, we'll jump very fast forward, and I'll share with you my BHAG, my big, hairy, audacious goal. Basically, our goal is to service everyone who's in the industry. And it's, and of course, whatever information that is presented to you as the end user, it's got to be relevant to what you're looking for. I'll give you a classic example. Like what we're targeting right now, we're starting with a food truck owner, okay?
Right.
What are the things a food truck owner wants to know? Wants to know about events, have events pushed out to me, keep things simple, help me automate my social media. Eventually, we'll have another app that's going to be built for the general consumer. What does the general consumer want to know? I could care less about the event info.
Where's the food? When's it going to be there? What are my food choices?
Are they there?
Right.
Okay. What are they selling? And everything that I need to know then. Event coordinators. who's available. You know, can I look at their calendar and make sure they're available? Are they reputable? Are they clean?
The consumer feedback, permitted? Right, yeah.
But even that's only three client segments that our technology is going to target. You ever think about the government agencies? Health inspectors.
All too often.
Health inspectors, they could care less.
The tax man, the health inspector.
The tax man. You know, health inspectors are where are the trucks at and where they are at with their inspections, so I can save time and be efficient and inspect the trucks that are within a 10-mile radius of me that are 90 days past due or something like that.
Right.
But even like the tax man, if there's a way that we could automate the sales tax and simplify payment of tax on time for the food truck owner, multiply that process by, let's say, 100,000 trucks. What's the time value of money for the government,
right,
or the IRS when the sales tax is paid that day or that week?
Well, it's like you're a food truck, and today you're in Raleigh, and you go to some big event down in Charlotte, the tax rates are different.
Oh, absolutely.
And on Raleigh, you're doing one thing. In Mecklenburg County, you're doing something else. Go to Durham. I mean, you move around the state, and there are different, you know, the county, the city, the state taxes, all of those kind of things. And that is, like, where businesses mess up most of the time. Their
absolutely
property tax, their sales and use tax, all of those kind of things, and capturing and remitting that. And for small business owners, they're usually – you know, they're not real deep in the accounting, and so
no,
that becomes a challenge. And an app that could facilitate that,
yeah,
is a value add.
The average food truck owner can't tell you the contact for the Mecklenburg County Health Department, much less who do I call at Wake County,
right,
that I'm serving in on a regular basis. And yeah, the tax rates do fluctuate by county, and you don't know who to call, where to send it to, and that's very time consuming. Overall, bottom line is time savings, being efficient. As a food truck owner and family man, I've had my long days, and it's time away from my kids, my family.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to run the business to be able to take care of your kids and your
right
family. But you shouldn't have to be away from your kids and family every single day, 9 months of the year, to do so. So there's got to be a very welcoming balance to be able to still take care of business efficiently, but still have enough time to enjoy with a family.
What about strategically teaming with the sales and use tax type software experts that have apps and things and integrating with Fousey? Are those the kind of things you're thinking about? Not necessarily building everything from scratch, but finding the right people already doing the right things with those expertise and doing something that way? Or are you really envisioning in your big, hairy, audacious goal that it's you're building everything from scratch?
If we had to build everything from scratch, it would it may not happen as quick as we'd like to. By all means, we are definitely looking for many great partnerships. We're not interested in rebuilding the technology to process credit cards. Majority industry is on Square, and they
right
love it. They've got a great support system. We would be foolish to even think about trying to redevelop what they have come near to perfection. So, you know, technology side, API plugin, backdoor, you know, information exchange, and just utilize the services that companies have perfected out there as a partnership in our platform. And this way, it's a win-win for everyone. All of our users are familiar with the Square credit card processing, and
right,
we're not having to take them out of their comfort zone. So that's a really big key. It's like, I can't say, well, in order to use Fousey, you need to use our credit card processing. You can just go ahead and hang that up. That's just not going to happen.
So the great thing about what you're saying is that you're not reinventing the wheel. You're not investing in something that somebody's already perfected or at least is best in industry practice. And so you're letting everyone do what they do best, and then Fousey becomes the hub that integrates those great systems.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely we can work on developing the technology to kind of get everyone together and play nicely and be in the same family and network and have all the tools at your fingertips, one touch accessibility for all of our users.
What are the things about inventory control and managing that? Is that something that you envision as part of it too?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely integrate with your POS system or even Square's Register app to monitor and manage your inventory. And even like Sam's Club. Sam's Club has a great samsclub.com where you can go ahead and order all your inventory. Place your order online and pick it up by 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. They have it ready for you. So it's like, wow, they've already done that piece of it. What if we integrated the product mix of what I saw in the truck today and tie that in with the goods and services that I need from Sam's Club, and then it automatically sends an order to Sam's, and then I know I can pick it up at 7 a.m. without any further interaction from the food truck owner. How much time savings is that alone? I mean, it's tremendous time savings to that what Sam's Club has done versus walking in, getting a cart, and running around picking it up. But if I can save even more time by linking all that technology together, as a food truck owner, hey, I'm done with lunch, clean up, 3:30, I'm going to go pick up my kids and enjoy the rest of the day, and I already know my order of Sam's Club is waiting for me at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, versus now I've got to go drive this in.
You got to sit there, you got to manually calculate what you need, figure out it is, go find it.
Go pick it up and bring it back to the commissary, and by the time I get back, it's traffic, so then you'll be stuck in traffic. So it's just that one technology piece alone is could be several hours of time savings. And as a family man, I'd rather spend 3 hours with my kids than 3 hours at Sam's Club or in traffic away from them. So put a price on that. What is that worth?
Right. Well, where do you see the food truck industry going? It was just this little hot little pop-up trend type thing. Then we saw people like yourselves had been in brick and mortar restaurants for decades decide, hey, this is really the direction we want to go. We've seen a shift in how people think of food, think of the convenience, think of brick and mortar versus the food truck. Where do you think the food industry, truck industry is going? And how is technology going to foster that and speed that process?
I think 5, maybe 10 years ago, there were probably a lot of naysayers or people who didn't really believe,
who's going to buy food off a truck on the side of the street?
Or what they say, oh, that's a roach coach. I'm not eating off of those. But in reality, some of these are five-star executive chefs from high-end restaurants, casinos, and a lot of very reputable food entrepreneurs. Even just someone who has a passion for cooking, who's never had any kind of cooking experience except what their mom and their dad's taught them. So there's a broad range of expertise on the trucks. And the level of food and the cuisines and the direction of a lot of different types of food being fused, a lot of fusion concepts.
The creativity.
The creativity is very unique. A lot of people believe in eating local. I don't like eating in chains anymore. So I know if I could eat off a local food truck, it's local cuisine. Now, so a lot of people are thinking, well, it's a trend. So how long
is the fad?
It's a fad. How long is the food trucks going to last? In all honesty, with what Fousey is building, Fousey is going to significantly disrupt the market, just like the food trucks has disrupted the restaurant industry market. Food trucks will be around. Why? Where else can someone make their dream come true for entrepreneurship with a fraction of what it costs to start up a brick and mortar, with eliminated the brick and mortar risks? And you know what? If you have a bad spot with a food truck, you start the truck and you go elsewhere and you don't come back to that bad location.
Yeah, I mean, it's location, 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 and you can't move your brick and mortar.
You cannot move your brick and mortar. But on the flip side, you land in a great brick and mortar. You're there. You're good. You're golden.
Right.
And you're going to have a very successful restaurant. Food trucks, you have a great lunch spot, but you can't really come back there and serve tomorrow because significantly there's a lot of other trucks that's going to come tomorrow or next week and serve in that location. But as large as our market is and the large number of ever-increasing food trucks coming into the market, and unfortunately, there's still going to be some trucks that didn't quite make it because they didn't adapt or they didn't make
it happen. Well, that's true of any business, but it's not going to be the fail rate of restaurants of like, what is it, 98% of restaurants fail, right?
Yeah.
And so a food truck can respond, change, and adapt to the information they're getting faster than a brick and mortar. So here at the studio, we had a number of new restaurants go in a couple years ago. We've got a few new ones down the street. But the ones that came in a few years ago, the first ones into the new buildings, are gone. It didn't matter that they were big names. They'd been Shark Tanked and all of these kind of things. They didn't succeed in their location. And so they didn't have the choice to drive down the street and find another location. They closed their doors. And that's something that if, as a food truck, you're reading your customer, you're getting the response to your food, you realize you're not managing your inventory process. Well, you can find technology now with Fusi and other things that will let you adapt quickly and dig back out.
Absolutely. With how technology and consumer purchasing has changed as any kind of business, and we're all seeing the negative effects of a lot of retail businesses.
Right.
There has been some that has adapted. I think that's going to be the primary key word here. They've adapted to the ever-changing demands of the consumer, and they've succeeded. And the ones that you're seeing that are bankruptcy, we're closing all 230 of our stores.
Right.
They were late or they didn't adapt. And unfortunately, that's the downfall of their company. However, what's great about the food truck business is we're a mobile restaurant. We can adapt to a location that didn't work. And, of course, weather comes into play. So that's another variable. I think it's number 199 on my reasons why your truck's not going to show up.
You're going to have to publish Ray's rules of disruption. And things that happen with food trucks.
Absolutely. I've got a book in the works. I'm going to title it like 1001 Reasons Why Your Truck Won't Make It Today. Something along those lines. Don't take that title. It's trademarked already. But but yeah, absolutely. And that's the beauty of the food truck business is, you know, fractional cost to entrepreneurship. And as long as you go in it with a passion for cooking, which everyone has, you don't have to serve something super creative or high end. It just could be mama's recipe and people will flock to it.
Well, and that's, again, on playing up the local part. I know there's a few food trucks, say that today, getting my tongue tied, that they don't know what their menu is until they go to the farmer's market. Right. And so what looked best in the produce today and what am I going to do creatively with that? Right. And so the menu is truly local and it's what's fresh right now and what looked best at the farmer's market. And that's what their truck serves that day. And that's what they send out in their social media.
And those are great opportunities. I'm very familiar with some of the trucks. They are the more experienced and high-end chefs, and they love their weekly menu based on the seasonal ingredients they can grab. And there's a huge following for people who love that kind of cuisine ideas. Like, what are we eating this week? Because it's fresh and something different. On the flip side, people are like, what are we eating this week? Because it's different from last week and it's outside my comfort zone. So you've got fans and then you've got people who may not be as happy.
It's like you may never get the same dish twice from that food truck because he doesn't replicate it and that's not what he wants to do that way. And then, yeah, there's the time you want the specific dish from Hibachi Express or whichever your favorite food truck is, and that's what you want for lunch today.
Absolutely.
And you don't want anything else. It doesn't matter who else is parked out there. That's the thing you're craving, and that's the thing you want to go back for.
One of my fan favorites is Julius with Sarge Chef, and I got to go hit him up for a shrimp and grits. So if he did like a seasonal menu, and then I see him next week, no shrimp and grits this week, I'd be like,
right.
Oh man, you let me down. So there's definitely pros and cons by having a flexible menu, but your customers and clientele they're understanding, and they get it.
Well, yeah, and you follow the food, literally and figuratively, you follow the food truck that suits your taste, your style, that sense of adventure if you don't want the same thing ever twice, or the comfort of knowing when I see Hibachi Express out there, I know I can get my favorite dish every time I go to the food truck.
Absolutely.
And so that, again, is the responsiveness to the consumer, to your customer. Some of the things that we see in how things are trending, like retail and those kind of things that you brought up, is that business models are constantly having to change. Something happens. Fusi's going to disrupt how food trucks have been doing things, and that's may force some business model changes out there. And so how adaptable do you think each food truck owner is going to have to be to stay competitive? How are the communities going to have to be working to help everyone raise the level of the water so that everyone does better? How is that adaptability and those transformations going to happen, and what's the environment for that?
One key word that, as a startup company, that I've learned that's crucial to every startup success is the word pivot. You have to have the ability and the desire to pivot when you've done your market research and the direction that of your development is not going what the market is looking for. You have to learn to pivot and adapt to what your consumers are looking for, just like the food truck industry. If I'm putting out hibachi octopus and I sell one order every 10 events, that's not working. I have to pivot.
Right.
You know, they want chicken. They don't want octopus because 90% of my consumers are buying the hibachi chicken. I'm not putting octopus on
right.
there. Just using that as an example, certain menu items just are not flying as creative as you want to be. So they have to be able to and be willing to adapt and pivot the direction of their business.
And so is FUSI there to help them analyze their results? So they might be so busy putting out the dishes that they're not realizing the trend that, like you say, 90% of the dishes they sell are chicken and not octopus.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that the kind of feedback that the system is giving them?
Absolutely. Imagine a real-time report after your lunch service is over 3 minutes ago and just seeing a product mix report of what sold and what didn't sell. Looking at that report for the last 7 days, 30 days, 3 months, or the entire year. What sold, what didn't sell? So it's having those sales analytics for the food truck owner. So it gives them a nice open bird's eye view of how they did, or they can put in their food costs and said, "Wow, I'm selling the shrimp plate for $10, but it really cost me almost $6 to make it. I'm not really making enough profit." So, as a first-time entrepreneur, those are key performance indicators, KPIs for businesses that they may not be aware of. They don't look at the profitability of each item; they look at how much total money that I bring
right.
in today, and can I pay all my bills and myself, and I'm cool with that.
Right, and that's true of a lot of the early stage startups, new entrepreneurs, that they don't deep dive their numbers. It's like, here's what I sold, here's what it cost me, here's my bottom line, and going into those numbers and realizing if I had changed my mix, my costs, I would have sold this much more and my costs would have been this much lower because I didn't have this to throw away. And my profit would have been even more. And that's the things that you're going to be pointing them to with FUSI.
Absolutely. One of the things, I come to the company as subject matter expert because I've been on the other side of the food truck window. I've seen what it's like inside the food truck and executing. But as first-time entrepreneur for a lot of these food truck owners, they don't realize the business side of their business. They understand what they're passionate about, making food, sending it out the window, and having a great time. And that's what we're all doing. But bottom line, this is truly a
business. Bottom line, you need a bottom line.
Bottom line, you need a big bottom line. But when FUSI puts this technology together, and it's not going to happen overnight, but we've made some great progress over the last year and a half, and we have a free product that everyone can, should, and we'll download and use.
And so that's FUSI, FOOSYE.com, I believe.
Absolutely. And the app is actually available on both the App Store and also Google Play. So we made it available for both the iPhones and the Androids.
So it's FOOSYE.com, or you can just search FOOSYE on the App Stores.
Absolutely. Yes.
And download it and take a look at the free application. And so are you looking for feedback from your users of the app and from those to say what they want to see next or how it's working for them? What's that interplay in the development?
Well, this past week I was fortunate to sit in a great little mini seminar in APEX put on by Carol with Oak City Labs, and she talked and shared a lot of great information about market research. Opened up my eyes significantly.
Right.
And so that's one of the big powerful message and aha moments that we said, we really need to dig in the market research a lot more before we spend the dollars to build what we think everyone needs. We need the data to support that this is truly the direction that we need to go. We have a pretty good idea, and I felt pretty confident about it, but after what I heard, I was like, yeah, we really need a lot of feedback for validation that the direction that we're going truly is what we need to be going towards.
Well, and that's an important thing for all of our businesses, because we think we know our customers, and then sometimes, like in consulting, and you're doing it as a consultant too to these food trucks, they don't know what their issue is. And so you don't know what you don't know until you get there. And then sometimes we're so used to being in the business and our own experiences, we think that's universal for everyone else. And so we do need to step back and look and get feedback from potential users, from the customer, and say, okay, these may be the right 10 things to build, but they want this one next, right? And that may not have been the one we were going to do next.
Absolutely. We have to be cautious of not being tunnel vision with our development. We have to definitely have a very open mind. And something also that we have to kind of keep in mind is what works for Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina may not be the top 10 priorities for Austin, Texas,
right,
or Seattle, Washington, or Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois. Different regions have different demands, and weather kicks in. I can't imagine what the food truck season is like up in Ontario, Canada.
Or in Kansas that got snow yesterday.
Oh, absolutely.
Storm, right? And so we're sitting here May 1st and they were getting snow. So that changed their day. So yeah, I mean, we're vulnerable to those types of things. Kind of shifting to the industry and, you know, looking at it, something I've wondered about, and you may or may not have any research on this, is that how big of an impact are food trucks having on the brick and mortar stores, on the franchise type establishments out there? So it's shifting. We have all these little food trucks. They're convenient. We don't have to run to McDonald's anymore to get convenience. We run out the door and the food truck is there. What impact is that? And do you have any concern that some big player like a McDonald's or one of the big franchises are going to say food truck is their next adventure?
There's definitely different aspects of that. And just some industry data that I've researched, National Restaurant Association says by end of this year, the food truck industry is a $2.3 billion.
With a B.
With a B, as in burger, is a $2.3 billion industry. That's just estimations. Those are just the ones that they have on record.
Right.
You still have a lot of food trucks who are what we call drive, park, and pray. They're a cash-only business, and they're down here.
No, that would never happen.
Never. But they are under the radar, and we have to believe that they are not part of that $2.3 billion number.
Right.
So the industry is definitely significantly greater than what anyone has estimated. The McDonald's and the national chains, they have 100,000 stores because they have 100,000 stores. They may dabble in a food truck here and there. We've actually seen a few chain concepts. They're kind of playing around in the sandbox and just kind of see if they can get some traction. Here's the other thing is people eat at food trucks because they don't want to eat at chains.
Right.
They don't want to see a McDonald's food truck because there's one on every other block where they live.
Well, in the cities, that's true.
Exactly.
In rural America, that may or may not be true. And so that kind of raises the thing, because we see hundreds of thousands of stores around the world for some. But yet that also becomes their vulnerability in that, how do they expand next when there's 100,000 brick and mortar stores, or when the market says, well, I'm not willing to pay $500,000 for a franchise location. Is there an alternative? Do you not think they're going to have to come up with some model for that, because they are getting eroded in their success?
By all means, absolutely. But what's positive for the food truck is a negative for the brick and mortars, just from a cost perspective.
Right.
But then what's positive for a brick and mortar, because your customers know exactly where to find them, they know exactly what they're serving on the menu,
right,
and they can go from destination A to B and get it because they've got the consumer confidence that they could drive down the road and there's a McDonald's.
And it's going to be the same little burger.
And I know exactly what I'm expecting.
Right.
And this is kind of one of the things that we've seen with Fousey is the food trucks that have a Google Calendar, hey, I'm serving tomorrow at this location, they don't make it. That's a consumer confidence piece that's eroded.
Right.
The consumers can't trust
that. One bad experience takes 10, 15, 20 good experiences to overcome that one.
Absolutely. I spent my 30 minutes of lunch and went a mile and a half down the road, and the Hibachi Express truck wasn't serving like they promised they were.
But so they always are.
But they are.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pick on my own. Because
he's picking on himself.
Because I know the owner, and he'll get over it. But when more and more food truck owners use the Foosie app, and they check in when they say they're going to check in, that's a piece that's going to turn them into a mobile brick-and-mortar store for that two-hour or three-hour time frame. Because the general consumer can say, they checked in. They're over at 920 Main Campus Drive at Centennial Campus until 1:30 today.
Right.
I know I can hustle over there and get some awesome hibachi. That's a missing link between making a mobile food truck into a brick and mortar without the cost of making a brick and mortar location.
Well, yeah, because we just see the overexpansion of a lot of entities in the restaurant business. And they may have a great franchise model, but suddenly there are 300 of them in your local city. And that overexpansion, that overinvestment in brick and mortar makes them vulnerable to those cyclical type things, or the food truck parking across the street and somebody says, oh, wait a minute, I'm not in the mood for the same thing every time. I want to see what the food truck's offering that day. So that makes them more vulnerable. The more their infrastructure costs are there, their overhead costs are there, and the more vulnerable they become to changes in consumer tastes and purchasing patterns.
And that's one of the things is the cost of real estate, cost of dirt. You know, you're not going to see someone open up a food truck part in the heart of a metro city when, you know, the cost of the dirt was like $1 million.
Right.
They could sell that and build a high rise instead. They're not going to allow it and put 5 or 10 food trucks to park there to sell lunch across from the local high-end restaurant.
Right.
A lot of municipalities have restrictions on where trucks can and cannot park and sell. A lot of municipalities still have a lot of challenges.
The permitting.
On how to regulate them. So there's at least there's a set of unknowns that hasn't been crossed where the trucks aren't going to be as huge of a competitor to some of these brick and mortar restaurants just because of location and the price of the real estate. They spend a lot of money to build their restaurant in downtown, and the municipalities. City council is going to hear from them. Hey, why are these food trucks outside my front yard?
I'm paying, you know, millions of dollars to do this. I'm paying rent. I'm paying sales tax. I'm paying property tax. I'm employing.
Absolutely.
And here's the motivation for the cities to be protective
and
of those
for,
brick and mortar.
For someone who's been on that side of it as well, I had 4 brick and mortar restaurants growing at one time. And yeah, I'd be pretty irate if I kept seeing food trucks outside my front door in my parking lot. I would be very irritated. So I've actually been in a lot of different shoes in the industry, so I can definitely share experiences from doing so.
All right, and so I didn't tell him I was going to ask this question, so it may take some thought. We've got about 6 minutes left. Can you give me 5 things that you think are going to be critical in the next 3 to 5 years, the next year, for taking the food truck industry to the next stage? And how are those going to come into play with what Foosie's doing and what you're doing with your food trucks and your commissary and all of that kind of thing?
One, consistency, okay? Because consistency is all built upon the premise that supports a consumer confidence. Bottom line, the way I look at it, if your customers can't find you, they can't buy from you. So you have to have technology in place so that your customers can find you and buy from you. If they don't buy from you, you're not going to stay in business a long time.
Right.
And there has been a series of technology that people are utilizing right now, but they don't have 100% consistency. Okay. And you have to be able to adapt to the last minute things that happen, things that hit the fan for the food truck industry. Number two, the food truck industry, we have a lot of challenges because of the mobility. What's your plan B, plan C when it happens? So the food truck owners have to learn to build a better truck. There are a lot of people getting into the industry never been entrepreneurs themselves, and they think they could go to the local department stores and buy everything they need and build their own food truck. The direction of that is going in a more structured, more regulated direction. Not everyone can afford a $200,000 food truck, but the days of the guy building it for $10,000 or less in his own backyard is going to go away, because the regulation is eventually going to catch up to you. And also at the same time, the visual aspect of food trucks, it's going to start heading in a more structured and more visually appealing direction. Because bottom line, you have to, it's like a restaurant. They have to reinvent the menus and the table tents. The food truck image is just as critical.
That brand building with the professionally produced, clean, shiny truck with all the nice painting on the side.
Yep. Another piece that's going to change how the industry is going to morph, everyone's going green. Okay. I don't want the food in a white styrofoam tray anymore, because the public's expectations, the education piece of being earth friendly, biodegradable, nothing that can't be compostable. The direction of the disposable packaging is heading to be more and more green. Classic example is the Durham Rodeo. We've been doing that for about 5 years, and I applaud them for everything they've done. I remember the first time we went out there, we had styrofoam trays and so forth, and now we've got biodegradable hinge trays, and I'm even looking at some starch forks for everything that we're using. So the messaging that they're pushing, not like laying in our laps, but encouraging us to start migrating that direction, is definitely a very positive tone, and I applaud them for their efforts and everything they've done for them. But I do see a lot of trucks needing to head in that direction. It's not always just, well, why would I buy a 50-cent tray when I can use a 5-cent styrofoam? The numbers are there. The general public is very content to help offset that premium if they know that what you're doing is actually very good for the environment. I lost track of my aim.
You were on, that was three.
That was number three.
So now four.
So number four, having the right systems in place. And there's a huge education piece for the owner-operator to be able to run their truck, not as a food truck. Give yourself more credit. You're an executive chef. You're going to be a highly successful entrepreneur, business owner, and you need to run your truck as a business. I think that mentality, that education piece is huge, and this is why we have to have the technology tools in place to help support them in their education and their growth.
So that's the technology behind the day-to-day operations. That's the compliance. That's making sure the truck is built and operating efficiently, all of those kind of things that you've just been talking about today.
Absolutely. And then I would say one final piece, and technology supports it again, is definitely huge education piece and communication. Education and communication are very big. Technology is going to support that more efficiently, not only for food truck owners, but to bring awareness to event coordinators and the general consumer that the truck might break down. Don't get upset. It's not the end of the world, you know. Let's have fun and make the best of it. And in addition to that, continue on to other clientele groups, government agencies, vendors, advertisers, everyone who would be playing in the food truck industry.
All the stakeholders.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank Ray for being on the show today. I want everyone to check out Foosy, FOOSYE.com. Check out the app on the App Store and the Google Store. And until next time, Ray, just stay focused on all those important things and your priorities, and I'm sure you're going to have much success. Okay, everyone, until next time, stay focused on the important things. Focus on Business would like to thank our underwriter, Close HR Connections. Visit their website, closehrconnections.com. You're listening to Focus on Business on WCOM FM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro. That's 103.5 on the dial, and we're focused on your success. If you would like to become an underwriter for Focus on Business or any of the WCOM FM LP 103.5 programs or the station, visit the WCOMFM.org website for information on underwriting shows, becoming an individual sponsor, becoming a Golden Voice sponsor, or how to volunteer with the station. That's WCOMFM.org. We're on the air because you care and you underwrite our programs. Focus. And you want a menu that shares as much content.